Hello and welcome to another exciting installment of Gadget Freaks Podcast. I'm Rob Kotevsky and this is our first one for 2008. Good things do come in threes, as they say, and our podcasts are no exception, with this being the third Gadget Freak podcast. Gadget Freak features cool electronic gadgets proudly brought to us by electronics engineers everywhere. If you've built a gadget that features electronics as a core component, we'd love to help you share it with the world. For more details, visit us at www.electronicsweekly.com/gadgetfreak. Imagine, you're right in the middle of a thunderstorm, the lights have gone out, and there's nothing better to do than time the number of seconds between a lightning strike and a thunderclap in an effort to see whether the storm is approaching or receding. That's where this month's Gadget Freak comes in. This month's gadget comes courtesy of Richard, who had a flash of inspiration when he created a lightning distance timer so he would no longer have to manually calculate the approach or retreat of a thunderstorm. He recycled an old crystal from an unused device for the oscillator, and he inserted two surface mount LEDs to enable him to see measurements in the dark. Now his creation is alive, all he needs is a wicked thunderstorm. Richard is currently in the middle of a hectic exam and assessment period for his A-levels. The fully licensed amateur radio operator has plans to enter university in September. We asked Richard when he was struck by the epiphany.
The whole project started when I got this old stopwatch, and I started wondering, wouldn't it be really good if we could actually make this thing read in miles to a lightning strike, instead of having to count the number of seconds and then divide it by some number, and by that point you've probably managed to go and miss the next lightning strike. It's probably a lot more spectacular than the one you're actually counting for. Anyway, I started doing some calculations on the back of an old envelope for what frequency crystal the 32.768 one inside the stopwatch image would actually have to be changed to, and turns out that it's around about 7 kilohertz that is needed to make the seconds figure read in miles. Now, I went and had a rummage in the old parts box, went and found this B7G glass envelope crystal, great big thing, probably out of an old organ, and it's a 70 kilohertz crystal, and it just so happens that 70 kilohertz is times 10 than what I need, so now miles is read out on the tens of seconds figure. Now that tends to limit it to 6 miles within normal conventional use. However, 6 miles is a delay of about 25 seconds. I've never heard a delay 25 seconds before, so I thought, yeah, that'll do.
And when the lights go out, it's a good thing Richard decided to include a backlight in his design.
I started building it all into a new case because this huge crystal's far too big to fit in the original stopwatch. And I started thinking, well, when there's usually a thunderstorm on, the power's usually gone. And wouldn't it be nice if we could actually put a backlight into this thing? And to do that, I had to go and invent like a side light using surface mount LEDs that shone just at the edge of the glass, just glancing on the LCD surface. And by doing that, I did actually manage to create a kind of a light. It's just about readable in dark conditions.
After Richard inserted the LEDs, he discovered a little problem, which he quickly overcame by using what he already had available.
Once I put the LEDs on, the next problem arose, and that is, the LEDs need more voltage than the 1.5 volt button cell that was originally stopwatch can provide, and it also needs more current. So, the only holder I had at the time was a double AA holder, to add 3 volts, so I went to put that in. And now, in case I kind of started to get kind of full with all these things, then I started trying to wire all the push buttons to the stopwatch, and then it had a bit of a problem. The metal that they made the PTM contacts out of, you couldn't actually solder to. And I thought, how can I get around this? And ended up actually having to take the stopwatch to pieces and solder directly onto the pads on the PCB to get around to make the contacts. And once I'd done that, and tried to fit everything back together, everything only just fits back together. There's that much things wedged in this case, it's unreal.
Once Richard's design was complete, he was ready to take it out for a test drive, but a watch cloud never boils. Don't you just hate it when that happens?
Now there's only one problem with building a device that has anything to do with the weather, and that is you actually need the weather to be able to test it. Now where I am, we've had floods, we've had torrential rain, we've had gale force winds, but in the past year we haven't had a single thunderstorm. So, in order to get around that problem, I've been found a video on the internet of some thunder and lightning, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to start a timer as soon as I see the lightning, and stop it as soon as I start to hear the thunderclap arrive. There's the lightning. That gives a reading of around about 1.6 miles.
And that brings this Gadget Freak podcast to a close. Don't forget, you can find complete build instructions for this or any other gadget at www.gadgetfreak.com. electronicsweekly.com/gadgetfreak. A big thank you to Richard for making this Gadget Freak possible. I'm Rob Kotevsky. Thanks for joining us.